Jaya Dora Jaya Let me remind all of ourselves to take a moment and cultivate the highest kind of motivation, that is the bodhicitta motivation or the altruistic intention, seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. So with that kind of motivation, we should engage in this teaching. Allow me to read a couple of passages from this Lamrim text to give you the blessing of oral transmission.
Kumbi tusum lende nima kumbi na biya ta jiti shira yi tong di la mubha shiva ni mubha li shiva yi shi to. Dil nye sa li tsama di nye la mi ni shi ni tong lak tong kumbha shi to shi sum shi yi shi chukbi ka so. Shi la kumbha ra sum la yi shi tambu ka so. Tong la so bi shi chu la mi bha ra sum ba di ka wa shi ni yong. Lakdong Shiva Shiva Tony Chamsi
Geshe-la read from page 99 to 103, and now I started to give explanation from where we left off last time. It's more towards the end of on page 99. One of the things that we were talking about last time is this, that when we cultivate maintain special insight or vipassana, yeah, or maintain path, if you will, based upon serenity, right? We assume that we already have serenity or calm abiding, and now we are going to cultivate a mundane path or insight to further our serenity experience, if you will. And so what is involved in this, as we already talked about, is we would be cultivating like different types of attention, if you will. So last time we briefly went through seven types of attention. Okay. And so at the beginning, we developed the kind of attention which, just for the simplicity's sake, we call it discernment. Okay. What this means is we are analyzing all the problems that exist in the desire realm, you know, where we are, and we analyze all the, if you will, the goodness that exists in the higher states of existence. Okay, and so through this kind of analytical process, what we started to discern or come to see is that it's much more peaceful in the higher states of existence, and it is much more problematic, in the desire world. Yeah, so desire world is fraught with, you know, problems and headaches and negativities, whereas these things don't exist in the highest existence. So therefore, hey, that is much better option, you know. I want to be there rather than here. So that kind of attention is developed, okay. And so that attention is, of course, developed through the process of what we call listening to teaching or study, contemplation, and meditation, okay. And so this discernment is also a kind of, if you will, vipassana or special insight. Okay? Because oftentimes, you know, people started to feel like when we talk about special insight or vipassana, lakthong in Tibetan, we automatically translate it to mean, oh, special insight into selflessness or emptiness. Okay? No, every kind of special insight is not necessarily special insight into selflessness or the ultimate nature of phenomena or things. Okay? And so we need to really differentiate between different types of vipassana or special insight. So here, as we know, we are really not talking about super mundane special insight. We are talking about mundane insight. But the mundane insight that we just talked about, you know, it also serves quite a good purpose. So that is to say that with serenity and that kind of a discernment or attentive discernment, you know, we are able to overcome manifest afflictions or delusions of the desire realm. That's quite an achievement, isn't it? Okay, so that's what we have. Talked about last time. No
scare. Hira sozo che to de la yang de yong de che wa na lak dong gom ba yin la yang che be tar hira yi to de le che che de jo ba ni hini go ba wa sta de de ta de yi che cho go ne ne de be ni mo ra ba bang ge se wa de bang da ka de se na en te le ta ka ji se na yang gom ga ga jo gom ma de che che ba shi ga ga ne be de jong de sin jo de ka go ra wa se de ni mo bon de zang la en ne che gom she yang de ge che hini go jo gom she dun de sung ri shi gom go ma de che And Jevata Majiba Shen and Jogun Joshin Pair Togomaris. What is
it? So I forgot something from the previous explanation. So, there is a quote from great Indian master Asanga's Sharvaga Bhumi or the levels of Sharvaga, you know, which really tells us about the distinction between different types of special insight or vipassana, if you will. And so the point that's being made here is. Once we have meditative serenity or calm abiding, shamatha, and we decide to cultivate mundane special insight, vipassana, then we will be cultivating this series of different types of attention, if you will. And by way of cultivating them, we are also able to counteract our afflictive emotions or the delusions and overcome the manifest delusions of the desire realm, if you will. Okay. And so it's very important to understand that. So that process also involves analytical meditation as well. Okay. So the thing to remember here is, I think some critics, they assert that In order to tackle our delusions, our afflicted emotions, we have to engage in single-pointed meditation. We should not engage in analysis of any kind, analytical, because that will, you know, do this. Okay. So therefore they said, you know, analysis is not going to work because it will go this way, and you just have to engage in this single-pointed placement meditation to deal with delusions. But our position is no. We need to alternate between, right, analytical meditation and the placement meditation or single-pointed meditation. The way we do is we engage in analysis. At the end of our analysis, when we have reached a conclusion, if you will, then we can place our mind on it single-pointedly. And then, again, we will analyze it. So we need to alternate between analytical meditation and single-pointed meditation, and that is the right way to counteract our delusions within us. Without doing that kind of, you know, both analytical and placement meditation, we really cannot, you know, overcome and uproot our delusions. Just for your sake, if you're trying to follow the different types of attention, there is a passage on page 98, right at the bottom. Okay, and so here, what we're really talking about is once we have a serenity or shamatha, we try to cultivate a mundane special insight or the mundane path. And this involves cultivating a series of, you know, attention, if you will. And the first attention is called discernment of characteristics. So basically, as we said, this kind of attentive discernment, it discerns the what are called the coarseness of the desire realm. That's our technical term, meaning that the desire realm is fraught with, you know, negativities and problems, and the peacefulness of the highest spheres of existence. So it sees those characteristics quite clearly. But this attention is really not a direct antidote to afflictive emotions manifest. It is like preparing the groundwork. It's the foundation, laying the foundation for the insight. And then we develop the next attention, which is called arisal from belief. Okay. Now this is where we have the what called mundane special insight here. Yeah, this is where the mundane special insight really it really starts here, if you will. But it is still not powerful to be able to counteract our manifest delusions. Okay, and then we further our practice and we cultivate the next attention, which is simply called isolation. So isolation, in the sense here, now we're able to isolate, if you will, our mind from the gross forms of delusions. Yeah? And so when we are able to isolate our mind from the gross forms of delusions, we experience a certain amount of joy and peacefulness, isn't it? Yeah? And how it really works is because the gross forms of delusions are relatively easier to abandon than the subtle forms. Okay? And the example Geshe-la has given is, you know, when we are doing our laundry, right? The coarse dirt on our clothes can easily be washed away by the detergent, isn't it? But the subtle ones, we have to, you know, use more powerful detergent or do something else, isn't it? So just like that, the coarse forms of delusions can easily be now overcome. And as we isolate our mind from that, you know, the isolation here refers to attention, particular kind of attention, okay, or the state of mind, that we experience certain joy and, peacefulness. So Geshe-la looks at that joy more like, you know, when we are really, not feeling well, whatever our sickness is, once we are cured of that sickness, right, we enjoy certain sense of well-being and happiness, isn't it? Now that sickness is gone, I'm isolated in a sense, like abandoned. So just like that, when we're able to overcome the coarse forms of delusions, our mind experiences certain sense of joy and delight. No,
it's okay. Tere da dune mene yongjo ya ene shila de ma tangi na yisi je go jong pe ne gom gom de ene debe ni mo ding kor som de pong gor wa
po
de ding kor so de pong de sa tele ya kono ni do di mene gawa de ba yisi gawa de ba yisi kar sa na ta tangi tele de ya lu sim de dewa de cha yo re pe de tele da ga de dewa de ne ene na za cha ta tangi de na za cha sa be dewa de ro wa ta na za cha sa ne ne se wo de de ya so ni yongjo de ro ro ta ga de wa cha ji ge ro wa wo di su de su de de ge de ji ge de wa su tangi de la em ba che be de wa su wa de de ge ji ji be de wa su ko ji de che wa fa ga de wa ji se ta ding ko su bon go ta de ta ko ji le pe
And then the practitioners, you know, further their skill in developing the next, stage of attention, which is the number four, called delight or withdrawal. That's the name of the attention. So what really happens here is you are able to, or we are able to deal with what we call the intermediate, if you will, level of delusions, right? The easy one, the coarse ones we have already overcome. Now we are dealing with the intermediate level kind of the version of delusions. And so as we're able to sort of, overcome them, the sense of joy that we experience here, the delight, is more intense. It's stronger than the previous sense of a joy. And here also it's just like, you know, if we overcome our sickness, you know, we feel a certain sense of well-being. Now, if we really eat well and sort of, boost up our energy, right, it's not only that we're feeling happy and well. Now, we really feel very energetic, right? Whoo! Like that. So, there is more of that sense of thing here, right? Very energy, you know, bursting here to deal with intermediate level of delusions.
Then the girl, Joel, Gigship, and the way you moved thing in the neighbor, the old Kursa, Taylor Longby, Cops, or Major Tonga, Tonga, Tanu Koo, and you moved Pongso and Yam to Topazin Borom, Missy, but Chiba Shady. See, Don, the Val and the way the Shabba the magician do Major Yin, the wound, the Shabba the training, Major Yin Yamness, this Shabby Shadus.
Chung
Pan 차우시
So once we are on this fourth level of attention called delight and withdrawal, as we said, now at this point we have overcome the coarse forms of manifest delusions, and now we started to deal with what we call the intermediate level kind of a delusions. Okay. And so at times we might get a sense like, well, maybe I'm free of delusions, right? It seems like so different experience, you know? And so, but, you know, we have to do the reality checkup here, right? Are we really or not, you know? Because what happens is, you know, sometimes we are in a meditative session, everything looks, you know, beautiful. But once we come out of the meditation, maybe, you see, there's teeny weeny bit coming up, right? Then we know. But sometimes you might even get a sense that it doesn't matter whether I'm in meditative state or out of meditation. Looks like I'm really free of delusions, right? We can really go into that illusory mode. And then here what is suggested is we should check out. Okay, is that true? Am I just kind of imagining that I'm free of delusions? Or is it really true that I'm really, you know, free of delusions now? So one of the ways to test ourselves is imagine sensual objects that can really get at us, isn't it? Attractive form, or just, you know, amazing sound, or just like, you know, shibber-dibber smell, whatever it is, right? Just imagine one of those things, and then we started to realize that still there are subtle delusions in us. You know, we still have subtle delusions toward the sensual pleasures. So that means the subtle level of delusions are still, you know, in us, and we need to really get rid of them. Okay. Otherwise, we would be simply imagining that we are free of delusions, but really not free of delusions, isn't it? Okay. And so in order to do that, then we realize that we need to analyze more further. Okay. And we need to cultivate the next level of attention, which is called analysis. Okay. And so on this day, what really helps us to overcome our sense of pride with regard to abandoning delusions, you know, because we have abandoned coarse forms of delusions, some intermediate forms of delusions. Sometimes we feel like, hey, I am free now, isn't it? And we might get a sense of pride in that, you know, hey, you know, I did it. But when we check with ourselves, we test our own mind, imagining the sensual objects, then we started to feel like, hey, subtle delusions are still there, so I still need to work on myself, okay? And that's how we apply ourselves into more analysis. Okay.
Tene yang shira ki thongla sotar chewa ta chebe tar tseji di goba ni nika shiki gombe dewe nyungu chungu nyamba chewa na jawa tar tukbe yila sheba she chao isi sumba na sheba da chukba ni nyumu pongi nyamba wo te tar nyumu chungu pangba ni dewe nyumu ngunjiwa tamji chomne se reshi la chungse
Ta
但感觉苏格拉底人家想把这个农业干想把生活让把它崩了，我现在这把问题，现在人家我们有个嘛的，对的，他这帮山就长了，他这头儿，他上天我是谁的，上天他不我是谁的，他我是的，你做谁的，他讲说，你这当这么些呢，他有了健康果果的，现在。Pegi semu gawal, pegi kuzu semu lelung silu jauh deh. Tapi nyebe semu tuh juga zor. Semu orang pegi cung semu cungbo, rago na itu zor. Tapi nyedo tu telat deh cakap ya. Tapi gua isah deh, tapi yang hiu deh insur. Lam gua ni dah dah kaji kan tu. Namju lam gua pegi cakap tu gua isah tu zor. Gua isah deh, ini semu pegi dengan si sila suk yang bosi, sila tu kun suk sila sila macam sila tu. Ini pegi sila kau yang bosi ni. Semu yang hiu di ni, macam lam manusia ada betul ngui saya sih war, tapi sampai tamu ngui saya tu war, tapi tu dia sini.
So as we engage in more analysis, because we realize that we still have subtle, you know, forms of delusions to sensual pleasures, and so through that way we are able to, you know, cultivate the next level of attention. Which is called a final application. Okay, now this is where the subtle forms of delusions of the desire realm are also kind of overcome here. Okay, and as it is stated here, that the attention number three, which is isolation, number four, called delight or withdrawal, and number six, final application, these three types of attention are direct antidotes to overcome manifest delusions of the desire realm. Yeah. The first two types of attention, called discernment of the characteristics and arisal from belief, those are like preparing, like those are like the basis for preparing the other forms of attention. And the fifth attention, simply called analysis, it's more like an, what we call complementary practice. Okay. It is not a direct antidote to our manifest forms of delusions. Okay. And so throughout all this process, you know, we must keep in our mind that we are engaging in this integrated practice of serenity and mundane special insight. That we are not choosing one over the other, right? We are practicing, as we said, we are alternating between analytical meditation, which goes with mundane insight, and the single-pointed meditation, which really goes with serenity. So we are integrating both types of practice here. And so through that process, we are able to cultivate these different levels of attention and overcome the manifest, you know, forms of delusion of the desire realm. Okay. So which, but one thing we must keep in mind that we are not able to uproot grasping at self. Okay. That still is intact in us. What really happens is usually, you know, we are, how to say, kind of obsessively attached to the sensual pleasures in the desire realm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it is explained and described in Buddhist literature that the mind of the desire realm is crazy and wild. Okay, it is just like one crazy mind. But compared to that, if you look at a higher state of life called preparatory stage concentration, as I said, nirdok in Tibetan, that is relatively more peaceful mind, less crazy mind. And as we cultivate this series of attentions, then we reach a stage called the actual samadhi of the first stage of concentration. A whole mouthful to say for a translator. Okay. And so that mind is a very peaceful mind, not a crazy mind. This is the state of mind where special insight and the serenity are balanced out very well. You see, it's not like they're trying to have a fight over one another. It's like not one is stronger than the other. One is trying to dominate the other. Not like they're just, you know, in balanced state of mind. It's a very wonderful state of mind. So once we have that, it makes an amazing difference in our, how should I say, spiritual development.
No. nyumuk paa la koma kome nyerto obongo warwa. Chiza bongzi tata ishi chokta, bongzi di indi di chiyami sa, di sungme xe ta sungum xe ye warwa. Ta sinzele shakri xe kuyo mara, sinzele tangma tangma sa, sinzele shakri xe kuyo mara, shita ta ti menshi shakri xe kuyo sa, ti menshi duyun warwa. O duyun di bongzi di tata nyobal shakri xe sa, taga nangyi bongzi jikwa jik yang yin siwa.
Alekin di yang kaso da samde nyibe gi ke nyomo pa wala ya ta di ji chuk du se yang ma du
o du do ta 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 da ngaz che da ne de ba ji wo he ro wa
la re la re
ta samde thang bo de bong go ro wa samde thang bo bon de ya samde nyibe ni do de bong go
ko
ji ko ma ko ni do de bong go se da se de ta li ni ka me ze se ze bong ge ra go ma ro wa se da se le de yo ja ji ta ne da ya wa ti ni
okay. So now once we get this sense of how cultivating a mundane vipassana or the special insight, it consists of cultivating those, you know, six types of attention and how these different attentions work in, you know, in their own ways. Like some are preparing the groundwork, others are actual antidotes to the delusions, right? All of that. Now the process is the same as we try to overcome the delusions associated with the higher states of existence, right? Right now we talk about the desire world, isn't it? Now there is the form, you know, world, and then there's the formless world, okay? So within the form world, there are four levels. Within the formless world, there are four levels. 4 + 4, 8. 4 × 2, 8. Anyway, I'm just trying to play with my math here. So in order to overcome our delusions associated with these different levels of the form and the formless, we go through the same process. We are alternating between analytical meditation and serenity meditation. Okay? And we again cultivate the series of different attentions pertaining to different levels. Let's say now, as we said, once we go through this one, we are on in the actual samadhi stage of the first stage of concentration. Now we know we still have delusions with regard to the second stage of concentration, isn't it? In order to deal with that, first we have to cultivate what is called the preparatory stage of that second stage of concentration, and then on the basis of that, we will deal with the delusions associated with the second level, then the third level, then the fourth level, then go higher up and up. See that? So the process is the same. Okay. And so we can go that all the way up to, we said, peak of secret existence. Okay, the zenith point of samsara, and then nobody seems to know how to get out of that, right? It's just like, okay, I've got the glass ceiling, or no, it's not a glass ceiling, it's really ceiling, right? Like, okay, now I don't know how to get beyond that, and this is it. This is as good as it gets, and this is as high as I could get in samsara. Okay, and then from there, I think we see the magic of this mundane path, you know, wear out, I think. He didn't say that, my first footnote.
Okay. Okay. Shakti ये ना ता दिए दिन अंजो पेंद थर्बा तोन्ये ने ते तुम केशी वो चावो मरो वा अंजो ता केशी मुने चावो जो दामे तो चावो जो से ते ते नम्बर समसे युल चावो भी दिए शिता पेंदो यो मर सी वा वा शिता दिए चार ने शिते जेर वो दे उंगो शिता जेर अंग तो उंगो से तो दे एने एक मामो तो एन टीम है सुंगो वा दे ता चासा
So now we are at the bottom of page 100 and the top of page 101. And where it says, so through that kind of process and cultivating mundane Vipassana, special insight, we can go all the way up to the peak of samsara. We can overcome all the delusions associated with different levels of existence in samsara. But once we reach the peak of samsara, then we need to stay put there, because now we don't know how to get beyond that. Okay? And according to Buddhist presentation, if we cultivate insight into selflessness or emptiness, right, then we will be able to break the bondage and get beyond some peak of samsara. But the mundane path does not really talk about that. So therefore, this is the highest point, zenith point we reach, and we stay put there. Okay? But stay put in a sense like, you know, it's not like, okay, now we are kind of bored to death or something, don't know what to do, anything, right? You can be still very busy. Okay? Because what happens is, by the power of developing these different levels of concentration, that now we are able to cultivate what we call clairvoyances, extrasensory powers, right? Such as to be able to read somebody's mind, you know? And maybe do some miracles too, miraculous power. So we can be busy, right, pursuing those things. And here Jerembuja says, like, you know, from his point of view, so those are really not worth pursuing. So he said, it gets too wordy to explain every this thing. He said, I just stop there, you know. And so from Buddhist perspective, what happens is, you know, our real goal is to be able to achieve nirvana or complete enlightenment, okay, not to pursue clairvoyances and miraculous power. Of course, bodhisattvas who really work for sentient beings, as a part of, you know, being able to work better for sentient beings, they do pursue sometimes clairvoyances and extrasensory power, not for their own sake, but otherwise, you know, they really don't mean that much. Okay? So therefore, the Buddhist practitioners would more pursue, the realization of selflessness and your emptiness, or cultivating bodhicitta, so that you will be able to achieve nirvana and complete enlightened state.
Something like a mushy drip soon did num Tata maybe Tata Kosa Chisa may merge them. Didn't them last six of them do Mason a quart? I can't think in the Shinji, Kosa Java, Shinji, Pamba Namu. Did that someday she had the Sumishi Ding in the Mumbashiwa Nani, Shiruba, the Tumua Yimbe. Did everything in the Chabaja Top Jam? Did some you call him Mudra Marcy? Teda kejo kwa chingwe se xine zangje se xuxi me jawar so so dobe sa lagdong da me be tawa te shaos de da tanda de se ta ngzu sa de sigor ta xine ma gung si de sigor wa sam de la sa be ngu ji du ji de tanda ko ini ngzu xine gung ge lagdong ja gung ge me za ini ko xida de xila na ya xida xien gu mo du sa ne de de sam jo ma de se wa no wa de de ya ko xien so na
Now, when we, look at all this knowledge and information from our level, right, when we look at serenity, this seems like a very high level of realization, isn't it? Because we don't have it, you know. And it's amazing what goes into that and cultivating it. But if we put it in a larger context, you know, it's not that of a big deal in terms of realization. And so the things that we kind of highlighted, some of the things, is we're talking about how, you know, based upon serenity, we can cultivate mundane vipassana and overcome all these delusions associated with, you know, many levels of samsara all the way to peak of single existence. Okay, but this is all still common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist practitioners. My second footnote, non-Buddhist here really usually means the Hindus here. Okay, and so it's not an exclusively Buddhist practice or exclusively non-Buddhist Hindu practice. It is common to both. Okay, so as a matter of fact, you know, if you look from a unique Buddhist perspective, you know, practicing serenity and mundane insight, in a sense, is like, you know, still being in samsara, isn't it? You can go all the way to the highest level of samsara, and then when you can't go any more further, then where you go? As we say, the higher you fly, then, you know, the harder you fall down. You have to come back, isn't it? So we'll be back in samsara. So basically, we are just kind of juggling in between the samsara, right? The low end and the high end. So that's all there is to it, you know. And so as Buddhist practitioners, you know, our goal as it is not to go round and round in samsara, not even to visit the highest level of samsara, but is to get out of samsara. So for that, just once we have the serenity, then don't feel complacent or, how should I say, satisfied with it. But say that, okay, now I have a real basis to cultivate super mundane insight, and then I will be able to go beyond samsara, go out of samsara, and also accomplish the complete enlightened state.
Okay.
We are in the middle of page 101, where it is stated that even though, you know, generally speaking, we as practitioners don't have, right, all the different levels of samadhis of the concentration we are talking about, but still this thing, information, knowledge should be interesting to us. Okay, so that we get a sense how important, you know, the power of concentration is in spiritual development. Okay, now if we are not able to handle, so to speak, you know, that much information about, you know, different levels of samadhi, the preparatory stage of this and that, and then the formless realm of existence, if that is getting too, you know, much for us, it is really recommended that at least we learn about, you know, how to cultivate calm abiding or serenity, okay, shamatha. And in order to learn about that, we really have to rely upon the most authentic, text which explain these things. You know, don't follow something I thought this is the way it should be, right? Because we might started to cook up things in our mind, you know. So that is not necessarily authoritative and authentic. We need to follow the works of great masters. As we say, in the first place, these things are explained in Wisdom Gone Beyond, kind of a sutra, Panchaparamita Sutras. And then we find it explained in the great Indian master Acharya Kamal Shila, Stages of Meditation, Bhavana Krama. Okay? And then we find it explained in the great Indian master Asanga's Sharvaka Bhumi, the levels of Sharvakas, isn't it? And then we started to find it explained in Maitreya's separation of the middle from the extremes. You know, as a matter of fact, it is in that text where Maitreya talks about how we need to learn about the five faults or obstacles that we need to get rid of and the eight antidotes which can help us to counteract our obstacles. And then we can progress on the nine stages of mental development in order to have serenity or calm abiding. At least this is what really we need to understand for our practice.
Dinnam samdeva kajik la ni mingzanya minjuk la kajik la ngun shung shiwa jangbe tuzo cekzo yoy jang tong lupa magwe chi nyanlin yi ce gwa meba tong ni zime du to di jangbe kwa lupa mek ma jebe da su hini shuo su do rungwe dengin zin re toba na tongba nyi dengin zin zinba nang la
It's explaining things from the bottom of page 101 and over to page 102. So basically, what Jerembuche is telling us is this, that there are we may call them critics, you know, who talk about serenity and special insight, but they are clueless about where these things are authoritatively presented, right? For example, things are presented in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, and then explained in the Stages of Meditation, the levels of hearers or Sarvaka Bhumi, in the separation of middle from the extremes. So they have even no clue about that. All these things are explained. But yet, I guess, maybe the today's version says they become very big mouth. They want to talk. Okay, so those are clueless critics, let me label them. Right. And then there are others, he said, when they are studying, they seem to know something, get it. But then when it comes to practice, then they really don't have anything with them. Okay, which is a problem, isn't it? Then they look like, okay, now I need to find the information again or get the teaching again, right? So it's again a problem, right? When we're studying, we seem to know something. When it comes to actual practice, we lose the information. So that's not the right way to go either. Okay. So why these things are happening is when we apply ourselves to the teaching or the study, I think we are really maybe not attending to it really well. That's why we don't get the what we call the correct or the sound understanding of things. Otherwise, things should stay with us. You know, that's the, I think, the implication here. But the biggest problem that I think even many great masters of the past have also encountered is how we get confused between subtle laxity and great meditation. Okay? Remember, the two major obstacles to our meditation is excitement, in Tibetan called kheba, which we call is the derivative of the attachment, isn't it? And laxity. So both of them have the coarse form and the subtle form. So it seems easy for us to be able to identify or recognize excitement, you know, because, you know, I'm excited, like, you know, don't eat too much sugar. No, he didn't say that, but, you know, that we know. But when it comes to identifying the subtle laxity, even some of the great masters were not able to do that. Because the subtle laxity is so subtle, it seems like I'm a great meditation session. See that? Yeah. So we confuse the subtle laxity state as a great meditation going, and that means, you know, we will not be able to have serenity. So that's what we really need to watch out, you know. And then some even said that when you attain the ninth level mental stage development for cultivating karma abiding, wow, you are highly realized, you know. You got the realization equal to the completion stage practice of the tantra, you know, and all that, you know. Because he said the kind of experience you have is really non-discursive and profound, and, you know, it is like this and that, you know. But as we talked about this a lot last time, right, it's almost like, give me a break, you didn't know what you're talking about. Well, forget about realization of highest yoga tantra. This is not even serenity yet. This is not even Buddhist practice yet, right? So don't even go there, right? So all of those are the issues, again, we are revisiting, right? We're just trying to remind ourselves.
Once again. Ini tingin zingun ni terasa mahir bagi orang mungkin pergi ini mimi saya kerja di sini tu, semai dah, mumi dah, ini orang mungkin buat tak yakin dia le, ini ko mungkin tak pernah sih mewah dah, hak guru sih orang tu, mungkin buat tak ada zaman je mucu orang sih, sebab tak ko sabu sih pun insya Allah na, pergi tanda aje untuk ko sabu rego macam tu, sebab mungkin buat mucu orang sih tu, tingin si tung. 等于这同康的送信呢，那么就考试，但马哥是写不就也是，我这他这这不是写到熊小子的空洞里啊，现在希腊主席他考上呢，因为明天的人不打那么打那，过等于这可能我接我们这站了，因为过要过没有呢，因为过的去多嘛的是不，是吧？我这过明年不打那，他那明年不打那，别的嘛是吧？是的，写不就也是。 熊村的铁道来送别，等于这准备，人罢了，开不上我。现在有些提前呢，那熊村的第一个主要的等于是中国呢，哦，熊第一个空洞的中国什么意思？第一趴下呢，那明年不就来别，就是安逸呢，那说是碰下的么就感觉丑的人是，那过来再来个嘛是吧？哦，就是我。嗯。
In the middle of page 102, as Zen Buzhi tells us, that those who are really interested to cultivate serenity and spiritual insight, we must really rely upon authentic sources or the treatises, such as the ones he mentioned earlier. Then we will never go wrong with that. Then we should really attend to the teaching, what we're learning, so that we will never get confused, because we understand what is and what is not. Otherwise, if we don't educate ourselves in those authentic texts, you know, just run after the labels and the slogans and all of those things, that's not going to serve any purpose, right? Somebody can sell a thing like, you know, this is going to be the profundity, whatever, teaching, or this is going to be the lucid dream or something. Well, this doesn't say it, you know, but I'm just trying to get a point across to you. Yeah. So all this, like advertisements and the slogans and, you know, the statements is going to be useless, you know, because we are really not after the labels per se. We are after the real thing, isn't it? So where is the real thing explained? In the authentic stages, such as stages of meditation, the Charvaka Bhumis, and all of those things, right? So if we are educated in that, we will not easily be deceived by the advertisements, right? That's the modern word. Okay. Come here because this is what you're going to get, right? The profound and the soundlessness and the, you know, the great seal and the, you know, whatever. Like, now you get a sense, isn't it? So we will not be enticed by the slogans and the announcements. No. So if we are wondering why, you know, Jerry Rinpoche has, you know, make all these efforts to clarify things, you know, to refute the wrong views and to present the right views, you know, it's not because, you know, he wanted to make himself very famous or, you know, establish himself as a great scholar of some kind, you know, or some title or like that. The thing is, like, if you look historically back, as we said, my third footnote, in the 8th century, one of what called the Chinese monks, but we refer to him as the Hoshang Mahayana, became very famous. So he, you know, started to become very popular and very dominant in propagating his viewpoint. It's called the philosophy of nothingness. Okay, and so many people started to be attracted to that. They think like, okay, that is the real ultimate nature of phenomena. You know, don't think about anything, and that's what it is. Okay, but that's obviously considered the wrong view, and that's why the great Indian master Kamal Shila was invited to Tibet. And Hoshang and they had a great debate for really long debate. And then finally, Kamal Shila was able to establish the right view. And then the Tibetan king asked the Hoshang to please, you know, go back to where he came from. And so Tibetan decided to follow the Indian Nalanda tradition Buddhism. He said, this is hereafter we are going to follow the Kamal Shila's way. And but that being said, as Geshe-la said, even when you look at the great Kadamba Geshe's or the masters, you know, each of them were highly realized. But when you look at their work, somehow they did not bother to explain that much. You know, when it comes to the view of emptiness, I think Geshe Sharawa probably did the best, as Geshe-la said, in his Lamrim text or the Stages of Path. But other Geshe's, they highly realized, but they really didn't write much about it. They didn't talk. So therefore, we really need, right, precise and lucid an explanation of what is emptiness and what is not, or what is karma abiding and what is not. So that's why Lama Tsongkhapa, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, or Jerumbuchi, as we also call him, he, you know, took pain, you know, make a lot of efforts to be able to clear up the doubts, misunderstandings, and present the right view. No,
that 어디에 雄山地上的没多的这边那么便宜的事了吧现在雄心不知道哪里啊一定是这样的那个民族事了吧啊这边上上面因为雄的嘛这没被杀了没把他们这些你也把心思对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是对吧他有啥的他的兄弟也是 so some kono de sam go lesu.
No, sir. So then at the end, we have sort of a summary, but presented in a more of a poetic verse forms, you know. And I think Geshe-la is juggling over it because I am sure he understands all the intricacies of the expressions there. But I don't know how much justice can we do in English translation. Well, anyway, I respect that. I didn't translate that. But the explanation given here is this, that as Jerome says, you know, some critics, they open their mouth too much, but they have really never even bothered to look in the what called the wisdom gone beyond and the authentic commentaries about the serenity. You know, they said, oh, nothing is there. It's just that their own limited perspective, right, they really didn't find anything there. Then they went in search of the thing where it is not available. So at the end, what they found is the nothingness view from the Hoshang, right? Then they thought, wow, now I'm landed on the profound thing here, right? So that's, I'm going to go with this. So which is saying, you know, so this is kind of a sad thing happening to them, you know. So if they had carefully looked in those authentic texts we listed, then they would have found the right explanation and everything. But because of their limitation, they didn't bother, and then they claimed there's nothing there, you know. So I'm going to go look over there. And then they ended up with Hoshang and his view. And then the gentleman goes on to explain that so even the authentic explanation of how to cultivate serenity or calm abiding, you know, where some people said, well, that realization is equal to the completion states of highest yoga tantra, right? Even they got that wrong. He said, you know, because you know, as authentic as that practice is, it's not exclusively Buddhist practice. It's not exclusively Hindu practice. It is common to both, okay? And so if you don't understand that much, then how would it be possible for such people to explain the different levels of practice and concentration explained in Theravadin Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, Vajrayana Buddhism? You know, that would be beyond beyond their capability.
Yes.
No, sir. And then Jerimuji goes on to explain, you know, how, you know, because of all those different issues and misunderstandings, and so he made every effort to explain things right, relying upon the authentic, you know, texts and treatises, okay? And so therefore he advises that people who are fortunate to study those texts, you know, they should realize that they have a jewel in their hand, you know. So be recognized that you have a jewel in your hand, so don't drop it and run after the fake jewel. You know, because that would be a sad thing. So in a way, as Geshe is chuckling over this, he takes it to mean that maybe Jerimuji is probably speaking to the monastic scholars who are engaged in this you know, extensive study of the text through debate and all of these things. He said, you know, you should realize that you are studying the most authentic text of Buddhism, and you have a jewel in your hand. So don't drop this one and then run after some small text, you know. That would be like a fake jewel.
Okay.
At the beginning of page 103, Jerimuji, you know, writes, I quote, "There's nothing apart from the meaning of the instructions in the treatises you have studied. Knowing this, the master of the sages said, there is bliss in the forest for those of great learning. Analyze these words." So basically what Jerimuji is saying is that for the monastic scholars, you know, you have been fortunate to study all this authentic, you know, texts. And so what you have learned is of great value. Okay? Once you have studied everything, and actually the master of the sages is the Buddha, advises that you should go into the forest and practice. Okay? So if what you have studied is no use to put into practice, why would Buddha say that, right? You study one thing and you go to the practice like, okay, now I have to learn again because what did I study, right? Because that would be really awkward. So everything you study in the profound text is meant for you to help your practice and, you know, when you go into the meditation into forest. So then Jerimuji goes on to tell us, you know, the importance of really learning, you know, about the things that we would like to practice, put into. So education is, you know, central to Jerimuji's, you know, teaching and message here. And that means that if we are really interested to cultivate serenity, we have to learn about what are the what are called the how do we prepare ourselves for that? What are the necessary conditions that we need to assemble, isn't it? And then we have to have the complete instruction on how to do the practice. When I'm actually doing our practice, how do I focus on my focus, isn't it? How do I maintain that? So we have to learn about all those things in order to be able to do the practice right. If we are devoid of that knowledge and understanding, simply making effort doesn't cut it, you know. I mean, you could be making a lot of effort and not achieving anything, because in the you know, what is required in our spiritual practice is we need to integrate both method and wisdom together, isn't it? So through method and wisdom, we are able to, you know, further our knowledge and realization. So simply working hard and putting effort is not adequate. Okay. Then here, Jerembus writes, come to know precisely the way to sustain meditation in reliance on the learned. Otherwise, there is less harm if you take for a while a refreshing break from the teachings of the conqueror, meaning Buddha. So what really he's saying is that if an individual is so habituated in going his way about things, you know, really not learning from the qualified masters or the authentic texts, yeah, then the gentleman's advice is, you know, if you are so habituated in the way, your way of doing, at least I advise you to take a break, in a sense that don't engage in teaching, don't engage in writing books, because you are going to mislead and confuse a whole lot of other people, right? You're already confused, that's fine, take a break, you know. But don't, you know, mislead other people through teaching and writing and all of those stuff, you know. So that's he said, take a break from those activities, you know. Just be alone yourself. I'm just kidding. So at the end, there is a verse which is Jerembu's dedication of his you know, virtuous effort, which reads, this explanation of the way to achieve serenity using the treatises of Maitreya and Asanga is for the sake of preserving for a long time the teachings of the conqueror or the Buddha. Okay, so that's his, you know, dedication of the merit for the flourishing of authentic teaching of the Buddha.
Okay.
So if we would like to really overcome our delusions and really, I mean, abandon delusions, then it is essential for us to cultivate serenity and special insight, okay? Without which we will not be able to overcome or abandon our delusions. But serenity and special insight just alone is not necessarily a very, very high level of realization, as if that's everything we need, okay? And so if we have them, we can do much more. We can further our, you know, experiences and practice like anything. And in Tibet, Geshe-la says, you know, in his good old days where, you know, Tibet did not have aeroplanes or did not have the motor cars or anything. So only thing, you know, if you have to travel afar is ride horses. And if you are a person, you know, who is capable of doing so many things, and if you are riding on a good horse, then you can travel far and wide and do a lot of useful things. Okay? But if you are a person with not, you know, so much ideas or whatever to benefit others, even if you have a good horse to ride, you know, it's not going to serve much purpose. You know, it's just you're riding it. That's all there is to it. Yeah, so like that, having serenity and special insight will make a big difference if we have, you know, other great ideas to pursue. So what we have really finished talking about is once we have serenity and we cultivate a mundane special insight of vipassana, we can go all the way to the peak of samsara or single existence, okay? And we cannot go further. So then, you see, we will fall back into the lower states of existence. And so we could have a long vacation there, you know, if you like, really. Now I'm not making that one up, Kisila says. Once you're at the peak of samsara, you can have, you know, one, sorry for my expression, hell of a vacation for a long time, and just distress yourself, whatever it is, then be real and you will be again back to other states of samsara. And so, you know, if our goal is not to be there for a long vacation and come back, we want to go beyond that, then we have to cultivate what we call aversion to the suffering in samsara, the misery, and then we will pursue the super mundane insight that will help us to get beyond samsara. So we have concluded our teaching on cultivating serenity or calm abiding samatha. And as you know, you have requested that we are going to alternate between beginning of the teaching and the special, not special insight means really what we call the super mundane special insight section of the Lam Ring. We are going to alternate between them. So next week we are going to go back and pick up where we left from the beginning of the Lam Ring, and then the following Sunday we will go and start the special insight section. Okay. Of the teaching. And with that, I think we can have one or two questions, and then, if you excuse me, I have a samsaric duty. I need to drive, hit the road, and run. I, the translator, has a samsaric duty. Yeah. Okay, any questions? Well, I must have discouraged you, what? Huh? Oh, you are with me in the samsara. That's good. Yeah, you have a question, okay. You're breaking the cycle. I think it's on, yeah.
I think it's on now.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about, or have the His Holiness explain about the discursive thinking and how that relates to delusions and samsara?
Very good, yeah. 고랑기 갱기 디지 축스시 세션한테 그래서 나도 남도 여러 바게 남도 생에디 가르래 고 중단 가르 디 애니 유모다 간데스 데도 거스코
나 지던데 드서다 남도 세는 것도 똑배라 남도 세워라
나
이제 똑바 거는 거 남도 세워라 나 양은 남도 사세야제 양지 하론 직시디서 수수 녹자 야가 녹다 녹을 야가다 서지 하론 넘도 시세야 계셔져라
그래
들으셔라 지금 지도 넘도스네 지도 도배명이라 디는 엔 똑발에 야가다 도 뭐여라 와
그래
어 데레 다 니무세 된 거 가가는 부대 다 니무 똑바여 돼요 디요 똑바 간 거 니무 말아
The Tibetan term tokpa, which is translated as discursive thought, yeah, we need that that all kinds of thought are called namdog in Tibetan, which means discursive thought. But then also the superstitious thought, right? The particular kind of thought, that's also called namdog, which is all negative in sense, right? I mean, but the thing you shall want to say that every kind of discursive thought is not necessarily negative or bad. or is related with delusion. There are thoughts which are what called non-delusional or undiluted. But then there are thoughts which are, you know, delusional in nature. So there are all kinds of variations there, you know. So the concept, you know, the discursive thought in a sense, it is a conceptual state of mind which is able to discern this is this is that, you know. When we're able to differentiate between those things, so that is also what called conceptual thought. Yeah, so conceptual thought is not necessarily like kind of a, you know, blank state of mind. It's just like, what? It's not necessarily that. You know, it can be very active, you know, able to discern, you know, different things.
Yeah. And that's preferred to discursive thought?
What is preferred? Oh, you mean the terminology?
Discerning thought is preferred.
Oh, no, what he means is that all discursive thoughts are not necessarily sort of like a blank state of mind. You know, there are those which are very discerning in nature, so they can differentiate between things. If not, I have a prayer request before I forget it. Kim Chu Shu Chu Watch. Tang Tang Anzu Kiru Jing Ki Kang Ki Dachi Nyen Zen the same but Ming the Ya Juti Nili Sigwagi. Long up to Mabdin Chen it. Kasan Sap Ming Mala Ya Din Sergenda. Anzu in a Tiba Marwagan. Tiba and Chong Lua.
Tiba.
I have a prayer request for Juti Nili. I don't know, they read age, so I hope she wouldn't mind, probably. 57, and she passed away, on Tuesday due to hepatitis C. So prayer has been requested for her. She is the sister-in-law of a very gifted photographer and sister-in-law of Grammy McRuders. Yeah, so she's here. Yeah, Graham. Yeah. All right, so prayers for her and others, you know, who passed away.
Jin O peerless Savior and Supreme Teacher, Suddhodana's Son, O the 17 Masters and Adepts, Nargarjuna and Asanga, and so on, O Dipamkara as well as Sovereign Father Tsongkhapa, gloriously appear here today to grant auspiciousness. On the great path leading to the heart of enlightenment, you have traversed by means of the perfect threefold discipline and have enhanced ever higher the realizations of the enlightened qualities. O glorious Guru, we offer our supplications at your feet. Pray return gloriously to propagate the teaching of Lobsang by tying well the sash of monastic disciplinary precepts and generating the altruistic intention to free all beings. Engage in the tantric yogas of the two stages. Think of the unbearable pain of the sentient beings who are enveloped in the forces of five degenerations. And to open wide the lotus growth of the Buddha's teachings, may your reincarnation appear soon as a source of merit for us. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure, and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you an incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised the parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is the sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it's set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king, who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon, just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure, enthusiastic minds. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa. By the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent rising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled.
Nam mô vô song cứu độ chí tôn bổn sư Tịnh Phạn Thái Tử. Nam mô 17 cao tổ chư hiền thánh tăng long thọ vô trước. Nam mô Dipakara cùng tông cô pha đôn phương thủ phụ. Quang lâm đương chốn hiện tại hiện tiền ban truyền phước nhụ. Thên thang đạo lộ trực chỉ chân tâm kiến tánh đẳng giác. Ngài đã siêu việt do nghiêm túc giữ ba tạng giới luật, rồi lại phát huy bay bổng tuyệt vời bồ đề hạnh chứng. Tôn sư quang binh tứ chúng thỉnh cầu gót sen lễ lại, xin mau truyền phá giáo pháp lô sang, bằng sự thắt chặt đa giới nghiêm minh thiền môn tự viện, rồi lại khởi tâm từ bi đại nguyện giải thoát chúng sanh. T tin chuyên hành trì du già mật định nhị phần chứng đắc. Xin luôn thương tưởng thống khổ bất kham ba cõi hữu tình, thường bị bao phủ trao đỏ khuôn nguôi mãnh lực ngũ trược. Đưa tay rộng mở bát ngát vườn sen giáo lý Phật Đà, xin mau tái sanh nhanh chóng hiện hành phước nguồn tứ chúng. Nam mô vô biên chư Phật chư Bồ Tát, các ngài thị hiện bát ngát báu thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần, xin trải từ tâm bên cần phổ hộ, mưa thánh thủy từ mây đại độ, đủ hệ bi tịnh phổ rạng ngời, tận diệt thống khổ tức thời, niệm danh ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh, đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật cốt tủy uyên thâm, của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngài nâng cao lộng vòng pháp bảo, chăm hướng vươn lan tỏa muôn phương, báu thân ngài chối nhòa phẩm hạnh, sao bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh biết chi, ngài từng trước Phật thệ nghi, hứa luôn hoằng pháp làm vì độ sanh, nay ngày hạn không đành bỏ nguyện, tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, lý nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn, xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn bơ vơ, xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, lời tuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, kế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh, xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương, lừng danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng, phá tan núi mị pháp lồng tà kiến, tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang, xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, đắc ngũ minh kiến thức uyên thâm, biện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả khẩu phục hằng tâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nước lòng, xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm, chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần, ươm sen hé nhị hương lên pháp đàn, của tông khách ba cái ngọc lời vàng, cho thần lực tam bảo linh ứng, cho thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, do tâm lực trí thành cùng kính ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Chambi sinh địa bồ đề danh giới chư ye đại nguyện rồi lai men con nay đại ai mi